and religious philosophies. I want to read from the book of Colossians 2, verse 7 and verse 8. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, everyone say beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, and after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What he's saying is, we don't want to follow after the concepts of psychology and modern thinking and humanism. And humanism is such a curse in this hour, and it's made its way strongly in the church, deceptively cloaked as programs and entertainment. We want to be after Christ. That's who we're following here this morning. Lift your hands and your hearts and invite the Lord to speak to us this morning. Jesus, Father, without You, we can do nothing. God, I'm asking You to minister to us. Speak through Your servant. Anoint Your shepherd, Lord, to speak forth the Word as You've given it to me. Not just to receive it in our ears, but in our hearts. Not being as a man who beholds his face in the glass and goes away and does nothing about the condition of his life. But let our hearts be hard of hearing and our ears heavy that we cannot receive. But this morning let there be a freedom of perception of Your Word. And let the precious seed of Your Word fall into fertile ground and take root. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Apostolic revival. You become what you're committed to. That's why what we commit to is so vital. If you commit to your family, you commit to your marriage, you become a strong household. When you commit to the things of God, you grow spiritually. When you live a life of lack of commitment, a life filled with just the temporal, here and now, just life, just making a living and building the nest egg and preparing for tomorrow. My friend, tomorrow is not a promise to anybody. James said, life is but a vapor. It appears for a while, but then it vanishes away. Whatever period of time we live in this life, whether it be 70 years, or perchance, if God allows you to live to be 100, that is but a breath, a wisp of smoke in time compared to eternity. And that's why we must commit our lives to the principles of God's Word. And commit our lives to the things of God. Because only what we do for Jesus will last. Everything we strive and get frustrated about and we allow to get our marriages tied into knots and get our relationships all turned sideways and everything all upside down does not matter in light of eternity. Only what we do for Jesus is going to make it in the long run. And I submit to you, with the age we are facing, only what you do for Jesus and how you build on in this life will last. You cannot build. I've known people that could sit back and they've amassed life's wealth and they've amassed position and power and they've been so careful to follow all of the procedures of life to become wealthy or powerful or known and can lose it all in a moment. Because whatever man can give you, man can take away. But what God gives you, it's sealed for eternity. What God gives you, I am not hungry for things that man can give me. I'm hungry for souls. I'm hungry for revival. I'm hungry for miracles and signs and wonders. I'm hungry for Book of Acts, Apostolic Revival. Well, put your hands together and praise Him. The first church was not born lethargic. They were born with a bang, if it were be. They were born in a fire. Tongues of fire literally fell on them as they sat on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And then they were waiting for the promise of the Father that had been promised to them in Acts 1 and verse 8. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And they were waiting for this promise, praying for 10 days. In Acts 2 verses 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, when suddenly, everyone say suddenly, that word suddenly in the original is athno, which meant they weren't expecting. They didn't know what to expect. They'd never seen the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But on that day, God was fixing to do something He had promised thousands of years ago to the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, I'll pour My Spirit out on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And on this day, the promise became revealed. And the Bible says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And in verse 4, this is the part that I like. And they were all, say all, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. If you're going to get the Holy Ghost, you're going to get it the Bible way. Let me tell you something. When I got the Holy Ghost, I spoke in tongues when the Spirit came. There's a move in this hour saying tongues is not important. Let me tell you something. The same churches that throw tongues out the front door back in 1965, now this year are voting in their general constituency to get rid of baptism. All you have to do is confess and believe. I got news for you. We're an apostolic church. If you're going to have apostolic authority and apostolic power, you got to have apostolic doctrine. You got to believe, repent, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Put your hands together and praise Him. Oh, the Holy Ghost isn't a fifth wheel. It's not an added blessing. It's not just your prayer language. It's apostolic. And I want to be after the first church. I want the power. I want the fire. God, send the fire. God, send the fire. God, send the fire. Let it pour out on our church, God. Let Holy Ghost and fire fall. Put your hands together and praise Him. During a time of scarce food supply, Elisha, overseer, teacher, and master of the sons of the prophets, sent some of the young men to gather ingredients to make a pot of stew. Unfortunately, one of the young men mistook some wild gourds for edible vegetables. 2 Kings 4, 39 through 41 contains this passage. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full. Everyone say wild gourds. He came and shred them into the pot of pottage. For they knew them not. My friend, you got to know what you're eating. That's why you can't just float from church to church. Oh, God's called me to go over here. Let me tell you why you got to be committed to an assembly. Because it goes against the grain of the modern religious mindset in this hour. And that's no commitment. Nobody wants to commit to job. Nobody wants to commit to marriage. Nobody wants to commit to family. Nobody even wants to commit to things of value in the human life. Most businesses are out for the bottom dollar. They don't care who they pollute and who they hurt and who they steal from. That's right. And when you are given strictly to profit as a business person, you will go morally south. That's all there is to it. You will morally fail. You cannot just be given to profit. There's something called people. Hello, somebody. Amen. You got to know what you're eating. Some folks, oh, I just flip on the television. I'll get mine. And you'll get everything from Dan to Beersheba. everything from laughing like hyenas to barking like dogs to who knows what. Gold dust. And, I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. Let me tell you something, my friend. You need a pastor. You need a church. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise Him. You got to know what you're eating. Verse 40. So they poured it out for the man, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, "Oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot." He meant well, but he just didn't realize what he was given. He wasn't knowledgeable what he was gathering. But tell you something, my friend. In this hour, people come popping up, and boy, God's called me to be a preacher. And they think just because they get this warm feeling, you know, I get this warm feeling when I mow my grass. It don't mean that, come on somebody, well, I got this warm feeling, I'm called. And they go out and they have no more depth than God's Word. Come on somebody. And they start gathering stuff that's not right. And the problem with that is, it's one thing to gather, it's another thing to start feeding people with it. There's death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. And so he said, "Bring forth meal." And he cast it in the pot. And he said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. You see, the young man did not perceive that the wild gourds were poisonous. There are people today who fail to recognize the danger in modern religious philosophies and theories that are rampant all around us. And they come in against the church. And they come in every form and every way. A person who is not founded on the principles of God's Word will be easily persuaded to go with the modern philosophies and follow doctrines that sound plausible to the human mind and ear. But it's a wild gourd, my friend, that causes death. Any doctrine that does not bring you closer to Jesus, any doctrine that does not magnify Jesus and lift Him up, is a damnable doctrine. It's a doctrine of man. Is a philosophy that is dangerous. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. God, give us the purity of Your Word. Let Your Word hide in our hearts and purify our souls. Not thinking of man. You see, 21st century Christians should follow the example of this first church. We need to be apostolic. Not just in title, but we need to be apostolic in doctrine. Apostolic in fellowship. Apostolic in what we do in the Holy Ghost. Acts 17:11, notice what the first church did. They received the Word with all readiness of mind. You see, we live in an hour of offense. You start preaching the Word, people get offended. Come on, schmooze me a little bit. Come on, just soft soap it and sugarcoat it and kind of tiptoe and, you know, waltz. And, you know, come dance with me. And you're dancing. Oh, you're just tiptoeing through the tide pairs, you know. Gotta be careful. Ooh, I better not touch that. No, they don't like me talking about giving. Ooh. Well, they don't agree with these home friendship groups. Oh, I better back off a little bit. You know, they might leave. They might go somewhere else. And they take over. Let me tell you something, my friend. This is an apostolic church. And this is an apostolic pastor. If you're hungry for revival, you came to the right place. If you're hungry for a move of God to see miracle signs and wonders and lives change, you came to the right place. Well, come on, somebody. I don't dance with nobody. The only person I dance with is Jesus. He's my dancing partner. Let me tell you something. I'll preach the Word, though. I'll give you what the Word of God says, because that's what will change your life. But people don't receive the Word with readiness of mind. They get offended. I have people come to me and say, "Pastor, what you preached this morning offended me." I say, "It's in the Bible." "Well, I don't care. It offended me." "Well, honey, I'm sorry. Your lifestyle is a lifestyle of carnality. It's God's Word, and the Word of God convicts you. But you know what? If you're getting rubbed the wrong way, turn around." Hello, somebody. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. They received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. How many went home and read your Bible this week, the book of Acts? That's why I'm preaching this morning. Last week I told you, God spoke to me. We need to read the book of Acts each day. Some folks,
They're so carnal in their thinking. They just went out one ear out the other. Once they walk out of church, they don't even think about church. Much less, probably didn't even read the book of Acts. You didn't even open your Bible. Hello? That's why your pastor gets to preach to you out of the book of Acts. If you're not going to read it, I'm going to preach it to you. Hallelujah. The Word of God is the standard by which all doctrine is to be judged. Whatever theory is presented under the guise of religion, it's a wild gourd. Any theory that is not based on this book is a wild gourd. Any theory. He says, sons of the prophets were nearly killed by the substitution of wild gourds for healthy vegetables. In like manner, unfounded philosophies, doctrines of men that are being substituted for the genuine truth of God's word is poisonous. Paul said in the book of Romans, Romans 1:25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. In Azusa Street, there was a prophecy that went forth that said, there's a people that would praise a God they no longer pray and intercede to. And you look at some modern philosophies of religion, and you see their acts, their entertainments. It's all about lifting man up. They worship man more than God. They're not worshiping God. They're lifting up people. They're lifting up themselves. You watch them when they sing. They're not sitting there with their hearts open praising God. They're entertaining. And oh, and woo, and all this stuff. Why? That's the modern philosophies that have come against the church. But I got news for you. It don't matter what happens in this nation. There will always be an apostolic church. There will always be a truth-bearing church. There will always be a church that stands in the power of God's Word. Many modern day preachers, they substituted song fests, banquets, socials for the preciousness of God's Word. They substituted entertainments. I know some pastors don't even get in the pulpit with the Bible anymore. They may give you one little scripture and then talk for 30 minutes on human theology, go to psychology classes and learn psychology and learn how to manipulate people through psychology. Let me tell you something. It's time to get back to the book. We need the Word. We need the Word. This is what will save your life. This is what will change your family. This is what will save your marriage. This book is what will change you. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. They changed the truth into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. That's why, my friend, hallelujah, entertainment won't save you. Entertainment will not save souls. I don't care how fancy your music is. It don't matter how slick your program is. Entertainment will not defeat the devil. Will not break the devil off your family and home. The only thing that will defeat the enemy is the power of God's Word. This Word has power to deliver. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, my friend. When this Word goes forth, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. And I'm sorry if your lifestyle is of such that you cannot bear God's Word. If you do not embrace the Word, my friend, you will not be saved. We are only saved by obeying the Word of God. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. Oh, yeah, Pastor. Well, Word don't save us. We're saved by grace alone. Well, I agree. There's no salvation out of Calvary. There's no salvation outside of the blood. There's no salvation outside of what happened at Calvary. But 2 Timothy 1 tells us, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. How did it, the perpetuation? See, some people, being Christian is a family tradition. It's something that's passed on, not just because it's what they do, it's because they're based on God's Word. word is passed to the children. That word is passed to the grandchildren. And my friend, when that word gets in your heart, it starts to change. You see, the preached word under the power of the Holy Ghost will bring salvation to hungry hearts. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. Don't tell me this word. How does a word, I'll tell you how it is. It's when you listen to the word and you obey. Hallelujah. That's how salvation comes to a life. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. We've got to want it like the first church had it. Let's look at what the first church did. Begin in Acts 2, the outpouring of God's Spirit, verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 down through verse 18, you find that He preaches to them Christ. Preaches to them Christ's death, burial, resurrection. The Bible says in verse 37, give me verse 37. Now when they heard this, say they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, modern, unbiblical translation. And they pulled him into a room to the side and said, congratulations. You've accepted Christ and thus you're saved. Welcome. Here's some tapes for you to listen to. Here's a book for you to read. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You're now saved. I was talking with someone recently. And I'm not trying to bash nothing. I'm just preaching the word here this morning. I was at a meeting recently and there's some kids in this meeting. And they sang some songs and it was a big meeting. Several thousands of people there. Kids in the front row, just goofing off, horsing around, mocking the whole service. At the end of the service, sure enough, stood up, didn't even call for repentance, because repentance don't matter anymore. All you got to do is believe. I mean, they've made it really, really simple. Called them forward and said, who all believes? And these three kids smirked. Right here, we have three salvations. Give them cards. Welcome. Is that Book of Acts? Do you see this? Is that what the apostles told them to do? Let's read what the apostles said when they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to escape the judgment of our sins? What are we going to do to escape the impending doom? Let's read it in verse 38. And then Peter said unto them, repent. The apostolic message always has been and always will be repentance. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You must be buried in baptism to wash your sins away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's apostolic. That's the way the first church did it. And that's the way we're going to do it. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Immediately after the outpouring, you find in verse 41, they gladly received His word. And the same day were baptized 3,000 souls. Say revival. That's what happens when you start preaching apostolic doctrine. You get apostolic revival. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of any devil to preach this truth. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And the Bible says in verse 44, and they that believe were together and had all things in common. Verse 45. Notice the process of what happens when you get into apostolic revival. And they sold their possessions and every man parted to all men as every man had need. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's the apostolic revival. That's what it sounds like. That's what the sounds of preaching sound like. That's what it looks like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the modern concept of this world is not reflected. Modern philosophies of religion that even make it into Pentecostal churches, even make it into this church. Let me read to you what the modern philosophy is. You can find your scripture, sir and ma'am, in Luke 12, in verse 15. And he said, "And take heed unto them, beware of covetousness." That's the doctrines of humanism. Covetousness. Eat, drink, and be merry. Me, mine. Whoever has the most toys when you die wins. That's the concept of this world that comes in the church. I gotta take care of me, 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 me. And beware, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentiful. He was blessed. He had plenty. But he thought within himself, what shall I do? I have no room, any place to put all his blessings. No thought about the needy. No thought about souls. No thought about a lost world. No thought about the world outside their front door. But rather he said, this is what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. And there I'm going to restore my fruits. Why? So he can get bigger and more powerful. Have bigger bank accounts. Be more secure. Be more at ease. Enjoy life even more and more. Nothing wrong with enjoying life, but not at the expense of souls going to hell. Did you know the average American spends more on dog food a year than they do on missionaries? That is a true statistic. Or cat food. Or whatever kind of food you feed animals. That's a shame. That's a shame. But notice the Lord's response to his selfishness. And I will say to my soul, verse 19, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. Just want to have a good time. All I want to, just going through life looking for a good time. No concern about people that need Jesus. No concern the state of mankind. So is he. Excuse me, verse 20. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth not up treasures for himself, that lays up treasures for himself, and is not rich towards God. I hope this morning I'm not preaching this in spiritually bankrupt sons and daughters of God. Your bank account in heaven ran out a long time ago. God help us to hunger. Apostolic revival. Lift your hands on this building and say, God, I want it. I want it. It's the answer to my life. It's the answer to my family. It's the answer to my needs. It's the answer to everything I'm facing. God, I need apostolic revival. Acts 3, verses 1 through verse 8 contains the miracle of the lame man by the gate called Beautiful. The Bible says when Peter and John went by at the hour of prayer, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, they had something to give. Give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Everyone say a miracle. Church, we're in the midst of miracles. I said, we're going to see the lame walk. We're going to see the blind eyes open. Judy Trent, stand up. I hope I don't embarrass you, sister. I don't mean to. A week and a half ago, Sister Trent came in and she poured her heart out to me. She said, Pastor, I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to relinquish my duties. She shared with me she had physical problems. Her gallbladder was completely shot. She said, I'm going in next week and they have me scheduled for surgery on my gallbladder. We prayed in the office, Sister Trent, and you left. Sunday night, I laid hands on you and prayed for you. Spoke the word of faith over her. She went to the doctor's office this week and the doctor said, we can't find nothing wrong. There's a miracle. I said, there's a miracle. Come on, somebody. Come on, it's time for signs, wonders, and miracles. We're apostolic. We believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. We believe in deliverance. And then people came running in verse 12, and they held Peter and John. Peter turned in verse 12 and said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness?" It's not going to be how holy we are. You missed a good chance to say amen. Let me back up. It's four on the floor. It's not going to be our holiness that brings the miracles. Okay. It's not going to be our power. I didn't heal you. Any one of these kids could lay hands on you, because the Bible says the prayer of faith saves the sick, not the preacher. Anybody can pray the prayer of faith. You got the power. Say, "I got the power." Come on, say, "I got the power." Do your fist like this. "I got the power." Turn your neighbor and don't hit him. "I got the power." Now, some of you husbands have been waiting to do that to your wife a long time. Hallelujah. Let's hope she believes you. Hallelujah. "I got the power." It's not natural power. It's not psychological power. It's not intellectual power. All that is wimpy compared to Holy Ghost power. I got Holy Ghost power. I know how to pray and demons can go. I know how to pray and cancers can dissolve. I know how to pray and needs can be met. I know how to pray and miracle signs and wonders can happen. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. "I've got the power." It's not our own power. Listen to verse 16. "And His name." There's that name. You can't get away from the name. You can't be a Book of Acts church and get rid of the name. You can't. I don't understand why people go and they pray in the name of Jesus, and they cast out devils in the name of Jesus, and they do everything in the name of Jesus, but then they stop short in some areas. Hello? "And His name," through faith in His name. First, you're going to have the name. How many's got the name applied to your life? That's why we baptize. And through, now you got to put some faith in that name, not faith in yourself. "Well, I just don't have the ability." Well, honey, you ain't going to do it anyway. "Well, I don't know. Last week I kicked the cat and God, you know what I said?" Yeah, He heard you. That's not going to bring the miracle. Go stop kicking the cat. Cat'll appreciate it. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. Kick cat and stop in revival. Cat kicking, excuse me. "And His name," say His name. "And through faith in His name." Everything you need for a miracle happened at Calvary. "By His stripes, we were healed," some translations say. Or some places say are healed. There's a place that says we were healed. That means a miracle took place at Calvary. Whatever you need is right now in your body. Whatever sickness right now you're facing. Whatever problem. I know your mind says, "Oh, but I've been sick so long." You're so tied to your pharmacy at home. I was preaching in South Texas one time. Believe me, I was much more wilder than I am now. Oh, yes. He saw me in there. Anyway. I'm pretty mild right now. I'm spirit led. And I know when to step forth. And I know when to speak. And I know when not to. Woman came and, "We didn't come to church." I understand some folks are sick and you got to go to the hospital and pray for them. I do that sometimes. Actually, "Dora Covio, come pray for this sister before church service tonight." I said, "Sure." We went there and we arrived at her house and walked in, and she knew he was coming. She was sitting up all propped up on her pillows.
And I mean, she had Walgreens sitting there. I have never seen bottles across the top of her headboard, bottles on her desk, bottles on her floor. And she was smiling. Oh, y'all, don't mind my bottles here. She was so proud of those bottles. And I took a look at her. I looked at that pastor. And I said, "Sir, this woman don't want to be healed. You pray for her." And I walked out. Oh, that's hard. That's harsh. No, it's reading someone's spirit. Why waste the time? Why? And I walked out. 5 minutes later, he went back and he consoled her and came around. "Brother, she's my biggest typer." I thought, now the truth's coming out. So you forget what James says about telling some folks to sit here on the high place because you got some finance. And, oh, you, because you don't mean nothing, sit over here. No. So, that night, I thought I'd be done with Terry. I thought, kiss my paycheck, bye-bye. You and me, Jesus. Guess I get the fast this week. Got to church, and a little tight. Pastor wasn't too happy with me. Started preaching. Sure enough, halfway into the message, the back doors burst open. Here comes that woman. Straight down the aisle, coming straight for me, Brother Brian. I was like, "Where's my bodyguards? Rushers! Help!" Now, I looked at her and I thought, what we got going on here? She stops right in the altar and she's pointing at me. She goes, "Pastor! This brother," and I think she called me Brother Anchovio. Yeah, I've been called Anchovio, Avocado, Archipokio. What's really fun is being in Asia. "Well, someone from blah, 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 blah." And you're like, "I better get up and go check on that one, because that sounds like my name." Make sure my flight's not being canceled here. "Oh, we called you." Is that what you were saying? Okay. "Brother Antonio here came to my house today to pray for me. And he told me I didn't want my healing, that I enjoyed being sick too much. And he made me mad." And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Lord, don't let her have a revolver. And then she started crying. She goes, "The truth was, he's right." I said, "Sister, you ready for your miracle?" "Yes!" "So lift your hands. Bow!" Power of God fell on her. She left that service completely healed. Threw her medication away. That's the power of God. That's apostolic. If you want a miracle, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe He can heal, I tell you, there's not a disease, there's not a sickness, there's not anything that my God cannot do. He's a miracle worker, and we believe in miracles! One more I want to read. I want to read from chapter 4, and I might pick up in chapter 5 and start preaching next Sunday. We're going to get through the whole book of Acts this month. You won't read it, I'll preach it. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Acts 4. The Bible tells us in verse 7, after all these miracles took place, all these good things happened. Every time you have apostolic revival, you stir big devils up. Big devils up. Ah, they're just a cult. Something cultish going down on that 38-2 road. Something weird going on down there. I don't know, you know. And folks coming here to see a bunch of people that love Jesus, want revival, love souls, just normal people. They're like, "Where's the snakes? Where's the powder? Where's the rule books? Oh, I'm having fun." They send them a message about what power or by what name have you done this? What's your authority? What's your right? And Peter, and I like this next verse. Being, you skipped over verse 8. Don't do that to me. That's the verse I like. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost sitting at home crying over the Cardinals losing. Oh, hello, somebody. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost sitting around carnal, sucking your thumb. How do you get full of the Holy Ghost? Baptize me. Baptize me. He wasn't ashamed. He didn't stand back and say, well, I know I don't want to offend you. You know, I just want to defend myself. I'm tired of defending myself. I'm tired of sitting back. All the people out there